Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I am continuing now. We're continuing our update with Colorado Right to Life, what has happened since their banquet just this fall. And I have in studio the new president of Colorado Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh. Brian, thanks for continuing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. What an honor. You appear on CBS Evening News with Katie Couric, then you end up on Bob and You're Live. It's a pretty major step downhill.
Or a major step uphill, depending on whether you place audience over values or values over audience.
Okay, all right. Well, that's nice of you. And, of course, that resulted in an article in the Washington Post, which dominates Washington, D.C., and then Fox News, Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor. The whole country is talking about how godlessness in our public schools and evolution has replaced God's absolutes, including do not murder. And it ends up on local media and national media. And now I'd like to talk about some of the other things other than all the media that happened since the banquet. First off, you were elected as president of Colorado Right to Life. And that's rather extraordinary. That's newsworthy because you've been known in Colorado and throughout the country and even around the world because your son Danny was murdered at Columbine High School.
That's right.
So how do you go from being a Columbine dad to fighting against abortion?
Well, I think when you look at the factors around Columbine, the link becomes pretty obvious between two students who believe that they had the right and the obligation to murder the innocent classmates that they went to school with.
Because of evolution, you kill the weaker.
You kill the weaker. There's no moral consequence. There's no right or wrong. And the fact that our country has endorsed and embraced the murder of innocent children inside the womb, now outside the womb. And these things all have an effect on society. And when a society refuses to protect the most innocent, the babies in the womb, which should be the safest place we will ever be in our life, when we refuse to protect them, then all of society will suffer. And that's what we're seeing now. And the evidence amounts to about 50 million babies so far in this country being slaughtered.
I know from talking to some of the other board members that your campaign, it wasn't a whole platform, it was one plank. I will not compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, no matter how appealing, no matter how much political pressure, no matter what it means in donations to Colorado Right to Life, we will not support any law that ends with, and then you could kill the baby.
That's correct. That was my basis. The board knew exactly where I stood, and they went ahead and elected me to this position. And so that's what I'm going to do the entire time I'm president of this organization. There will certainly be some resistance. We've seen that. And there will be some opportunities. But in the pro-life movement, and there are thousands of really good people who share this platform, probably tens of thousands, maybe even millions who share this platform, but they're not being represented by National Right to Life. And there's very few voices out there that are saying compromise is what led to abortion. Compromise is why it's gotten worse, not better. And it's time that we rely on God and His commandments to change this evil thing.
Every law has two components, a moral component and a strategic one, or the intention of the law. And it's a lot easier to figure out right and wrong than it is to calculate long-term consequences of some action. So right and wrong, that should be so easy. Pro-life leadership should say, well, look at this law. Does it say, and then you could kill the baby? If it does, it's bad law.
That's right.
So easy to do. They don't do that. Instead, they say, let's set that issue aside. Let's look at the long-term consequences. And they think, well, look at this waiting period, this parental consent, this whatever. This is going to convince some women to not have an abortion. But it's almost as though they don't consider the unintended consequences is that this makes abortion look more reasonable to the masses, to the voters, to the politicians and judges. So if Roe v. Wade is overturned tomorrow, abortion is legal virtually throughout America by pro-life legislation, which says law after law ends with, and then you could kill the baby. If you have a 24-hour waiting period, then you could kill the baby. If you have parental consent, then you could kill the baby. If you have informed consent, if the abortionist told you this information, then you could kill the baby. If it's a late-term abortion, well, if you offer painkiller, then you could kill the baby. So now we have hundreds of pro-life laws that legitimize and keep legal child killing, and then we have to start trying to overturn our own laws?
That's exactly the position we're in now. But it's even worse than that. If the pro-life movement would have had the courage when it started to stand up and say, these are the parameters we will operate under. Do not ever bring us a law that violates these, because we will oppose it and we will oppose you. This is the standard by which you will write your laws for us to support them. And if you did that, you would find that most of these laws, they wouldn't be proposed, they wouldn't be written, because they would meet with the resistance. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of test for whether a law is a good law or a bad law.
This bizarre Fetal Pain Awareness Act, National Right to Life, has concocted this. If the child could feel pain, then you give the child a painkiller. And NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, says we will not oppose this law.
Right. Well, they see it as a profit opportunity. It gives them an option to sell medication for additional profit.
That's true.
And then it alleviates a lot of the concerns that the mother has, because now her baby won't suffer.
Right.
And she's told she's doing the right thing. This law will not reduce abortion. No. It will increase abortion.
Right. It makes the most heinous kind of abortion. It's all murder. But the most egregious outwardly is late-term abortion. And this makes even that more humane. Even more people will now come on board and say, you know, I was against late-term abortion, but now they give anesthesia, a painkiller, to the baby. So the baby doesn't even know. And that makes the whole public less opposed to late-term abortion. We might now have to fight against late-term abortion for an additional 50 years or a century, because we now need to repeal our own law if this were to pass. So this is the main reason why I am hoping that the oldest Right to Life group in the nation, Colorado Right to Life, was the first Right to Life organization. I am hoping that your organization, Brian, ends up in the lead, retaking the moral high ground of the battle against abortion. And to do that, Colorado Right to Life needs support. So I'm going to real quickly give the website and the phone number. If you can help Colorado Right to Life keep fighting the battle and attempt to take the moral high ground, call them at 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394, or donate by their website at coloradorighttolife.org. Okay, so now, since the banquet, one of the things that's happened is Colorado Right to Life has joined another fight, and it's the ABC fight against Komen's Race for the Cure.
That's
right. Do you want to explain that? Now, that's been going on for years in Colorado, led by Ken and Joe Scott, working to warn women of abortion as a significant risk factor for breast cancer.
That's right. And so Komen has raised just an enormous amount of money to fight breast cancer. So on the surface, it seems like a very good cause, a very good organization.
Yeah.
But the big link to breast cancer is abortion. It's not the only factor, but it is a factor. And there was just another study recently done that confirms earlier studies that find a significant link. Now, if that link were from some food item, you'd hear about it all over the media.
Right.
But this is a political issue. And Komen has given money in the past and continues to give money to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And so they see this as a conflict, so they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the tragedy is a lot of good people trying to do a good thing are actually making the problem worse, because by supporting Komen and they're not talking about this scientific link,
right,
many more women are going to be subjected to cancer.
Exactly. And the most unprecedented development happened in the few days before the march, the Race for the Cure, Colorado Right to Life met with Komen Foundation officials. That's extraordinary. You guys put out this press release that was so powerful. And basically, well, for one, you recorded the meeting with the Komen Foundation officials, which is so valuable because the transcript has them saying the most extraordinarily horrendous things. For example, Colorado Right to Life asks, and I could give the names of the Komen officials who were there, that one of their board members and chairman of their grants committee here in Colorado, J.P. Pettinelli, and public relations representative Dana Brandorf. And they were asked, why aren't women being told about the most preventable risk factor, abortion, the most preventable risk factor for breast cancer? And Brandorf is the chairman of the grants committee. He said, we tend to focus on the cure. We're focusing our energies on that rather than prevention.
Right. And just for clarification, I wasn't the president at the time this took place. So this took place leading up to the banquet. And it was, of course, extraordinary that this took place. And there was Colorado Right to Life was well represented. And yeah, these things are amazing because it's like they know about the link, but now they're saying that's not their, you know, that's not their issue.
Mm-hmm.
And but clearly, one thing we know for sure, they've been informed of the link. The science is good, and they have to make a decision.
Right.
Are they going to continue supporting the organization that is responsible for many women getting breast cancer?
Okay, and now that meeting happened, you're right, just before the banquet. What happened since the banquet is that Colorado Right to Life put out a press release and said, we are joining the fight against Komen's Race for the Cure.
Right.
And that takes guts because, yeah, outwardly, it's the most noble cause on the planet. But behind the scenes, they're actually funding Planned Parenthood. And at this meeting, they lied. The representatives lied, saying, we don't know of any funding. There has been no funding. And the Colorado Right to Life board members who were there produced the funding. They said, you've been funding. You funded last year. You're funding this year. Here are the numbers.
That's right.
Yeah. That was pretty extraordinary.
Well, and you're right, because when you stand up and you say these things and they're based in fact and you're being honest, you do receive a lot of people who will say, I don't want to be part of Colorado Right to Life. I'm mad at you for doing this. If you ever do this again, I'll withhold funding from you. I mean, you do receive a lot of people who have not studied the issue, have not looked at the evidence, and their initial reaction is that somehow we must be wrong. And of course, we encourage those people, well, look at the facts. Let us show you what our position is so you clearly understand it. And so every time you stand up and you say, no, this is wrong, and you list your reasons why, a certain percentage of people will say, yes, you're doing the right thing. Others who want to see things run exactly like they are now, they're in their comfort zone, they get angry. Mm-hmm. And so there are many people who are angry at me just for the position I'm taking, mm-hmm. that we won't support any law that says, and then you can kill the baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we go from the ABC abortion breast cancer link to fetal stem cell research. And this actually ended up on KCNC, the local CBS affiliate.
That's right.
In Denver, Colorado. And that was when Michael J. Fox was promoting fetal stem cell research.
Except that what he was promoting was stem cell research. Mm. At the time, he hadn't said fetal.
Right.
He was trying to paint it all in one group. You see, our position is we don't oppose stem cell research.
No.
We think that the adult stem cell, which has shown all the promise in the world and has had great success, needs to be researched. It doesn't take an innocent life.
Right.
It is very valid science.
Right.
On the other hand, killing a baby or an embryo to dissect it and create stem cells trying to cure cancer. See, no one, not Michael J. Fox, not me, not you, none of us have the right to take an innocent life to extend ours. That's evil and it's wrong. When we get sick, if legitimate good science and medicine can't help us, we die.
Right.
And that's the way it should
be. That's a great way to put it, too. It's better that I would die, Bob Enyar, it's better that Michael J. Fox would die than to kill an innocent living human being in order to harvest those parts, to do research, to try to save our lives. That's wrong. And we have this major problem because people don't care about late-term abortion, partial birth abortion. Colorado voters voted to keep legal partial birth abortion in our state. And we have this issue of this fertilized egg who's now a living, unique human being. People just don't care. And all these laws, these pro-life laws that end with and then you could kill the baby, you know what they undermine? They undermine the argument based on the personhood of the baby.
That's right.
Because if it is an innocent living being, a person, you would not kill that person because his father was a criminal.
Well, that's precisely right. And I had the privilege of speaking at the March for Life in January of 2006. And I brought that very issue up. And as you remember, I recorded a commercial that said, for the first time, Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death for the crimes of her father. Mm. And there was some uproar about that.
That was back in 1967.
That's when they first passed the law that said, right, you can kill a baby if her mom or his mom were a victim of rape or incest. Mm. And of course, right there, you established the criminal should live and the victim should die.
Right. So when we pass laws that say these regulating abortion laws that say you can have the abortion if what we do is we undermine the personhood of that baby, because if it was our son or daughter, we wouldn't pass a law that says you could kill my daughter if you comply with these rules. We wouldn't do that because we know, well, it'd be wrong to kill my daughter, but it's somebody else's son or daughter. And so we think, oh, this is going to help us eventually win the battle, but we are eroding away the belief in the personhood of the child. Do you know who lost the battle in South Dakota when the people voted against their abortion ban? Here's who lost the battle. The people who believed that abortion should be legal if the father's a criminal.
That's right.
For rape and incest. And you know where the masses got that mindset? You know where the masses got the idea that abortion should be legal when the father's a criminal? They got it from the pro-life candidates. They got it from National Right to Life. They got it from Christian leaders. Because the pro-aborts and the atheists, they're not the ones saying abortion should be legal for rape and incest. That's all the pro-lifers.
Well, you're exactly right. And it started here in Colorado. And so we saw it here. It's been promoted around the nation. And, you know, you just mentioned something that I think is interesting. On, you know, along with me elected to this board, Jason Troyer was elected to Colorado Right to Life.
That's
and
right.
You did shows on the great letter that he wrote
after,
in response.
After the loss.
Right.
Analyzing why they lost the vote.
Right. And he was correct on that.
That was extraordinary. And do you remember George W. Bush commented on the South Dakota ban,
right.
And he said, I'm against this ban. I believe in abortion for rape and incest. So it is the pro-lifers from our pro-life Republican Christian president on down. It's the pro-lifers who've educated the masses that abortion should be legal for rape and incest. Now we're beginning a new phase to educate them that late-term abortion should be legal if there's painkiller administered to the baby.
Right. Sadly, that's true.
Wow.
And hopefully it loses. Mm. But since the other side seems to like this bill, mm-hmm. it may well go through.
Now, I'd like to, once again, quickly, I'll give out the phone number and the website for Colorado Right to Life. The website is coloradorighttolife.org. Couldn't be more easy. coloradorighttolife.org. The phone number to make a donation, to become a member. If you give more than $20, just let them know you'd like to be a member. Make sure you get the newsletter. You got to be on the mailing list. What a newsletter. It's been hitting mailboxes this past week. Wow, this is the best newsletter I've seen from a pro-life group in a long time. The phone number is 303-753-9394. You make a donation. If it's over 20, say you'd like to be a member and you would like to be on the mailing list to get the newsletter. And then ColoradoRightToLife.org. Okay. So, Brian, we're going through the things that have happened since the banquet, and they have been absolutely extraordinary. So Colorado Right to Life, like other Right to Life groups, are fighting against fetal stem cell research.
That's right.
Okay. And in fact, the press release you guys put out had a quote from you. No, I got that wrong. Let me fix that. You were interviewed by the CBS affiliate in Colorado, and one quote you said in the interview that they admitted is, "No man has the right to murder an innocent baby to find a cure for anything."
That's right.
And that's important to point out. We say, well, adult stem cells work better than fetal stem cells. That's true so far. But if fetal stem cell research can cure every disease known to man, it's still wrong.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And my point when I was talking to them, and of course this was a 25-minute interview that they used 30 seconds of. So you don't really have control on what they use.
Right.
But what I talked about was, right now you're being sold that there's a promise, and all we've seen from it so far is cancer, is you've seen terrible results from the tests that have been done. But even if it were, would be successful, it's wrong, and there is no reason to experiment with it. Mm-hmm. You know, no one has the importance to sacrifice an innocent child so they may live longer.
Mm-hmm. A week after the banquet, the Rocky Mountain News quoted the national president of Planned Parenthood. Her name is Cecile Richards. And she said, I'll quote it here. I hate to quote it because she speaks just in a bit of a crude way. She said, "I've never backed down from a fight, and I'll be damned if Bush, Alito, and Colorado Right to Life are going to take away a woman's right to choose." And so, hey, she's saying, "I never backed down from a fight." And she mentioned you guys.
Right.
So you put out a press release accepting her invitation to the fight.
That's right.
So I'd like to talk about that a little bit because she mentions Bush and Alito. And Bush helped to defeat the abortion ban in South Dakota.
That's right.
Because he came out against it. He said, "This is not my position.
Right.
I believe you should have the right to kill a baby if his father's a criminal."
Right.
So that's undermining the personhood of the baby. That's what we've been talking about on Bob and Your Life for 15 years. That's why you're on Colorado Right to Life. And you know what the South Dakota pro-lifers are going to do now? They've already drafted their next go-round, and they are now saying that you can kill the baby if his father's a criminal. That's in their new legislation. So we will oppose that legislation.
Right, and it's tragic that they would do this. They got a law passed, and then they made a mistake because they showed the public that they really didn't believe what the law said.
Yeah.
They said, well, yeah, that law's really strong, but we're really not that strong. And what they should have said is no.
Let me clarify that, Brian. They were saying if a woman is raped, she could go and have Plan B, the morning after pill, which is among the best choices for that woman in that circumstance. That was vote yes for life in South Dakota, giving support to this abortifacient Plan B, the morning after pill, which was despicable. And they made a TV commercial for Plan B that was better than Planned Parenthood could have made themselves.
Well, that's exactly right.
That was despicable.
Their moral compromise, their weakness, their undermining their own position led the voters to say, "You don't even believe the law you passed. How could we support it?"
Yeah, right. And they were being duplicitous. And
yeah.
And so what they should do is not faint, have patience, have endurance, perseverance, and come back with the same law and do a better job of defending you don't kill a baby because his father's a criminal.
That's exactly right.
That's what the point is.
They need to point out who the victims are.
Right.
And the fact that the baby is always the victim and always the most innocent. And you shouldn't love and understand the criminal and kill the baby.
Mm.
You know, these are the things that they need to educate people on, because if they don't do it, no one will. The only other people who are going to offer education will be the people who want to kill the baby.
Right. And we have covered this on this show many times, the talking points for abortion, for rape and incest. In fact, if anybody needs to look these up, they could just go to Google and just Google NER and talking points, and it'll pop right up, or KGov and talking points. And it's this: abortion for incest. You know what happens? The abortion clinic helps to cover up the crime. Imagine if the pro-life leaders in South Dakota, if they were saying these things: the abortionist helps to cover up the crime. The abortionist typically sends the victim back home to her rapist. The abortion clinic often sends her home with the relative who raped her. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young relative, and it emboldens him to repeat his crime even after he's impregnated her.
Yeah, that's right.
It devastates the woman, just devastates the woman. So that's where we're at. And if the South Dakota pro-lifers would only know do not compromise on do not murder, then they could think through these issues. They don't bother to think through these issues because they have their fallback. Oh, we'll support abortion for rape and incest. We'll legitimize it. And they're undermining the personhood of the baby, which is our entire argument.
That's exactly right. And you have groups like National Right to Life who, if they ask them for an opinion, National Right to Life will come in and say, well, of course you have to have exceptions, mm-hmm. which is tragic.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this National Right to Life bill has in it, in its wording, that the good faith judgment of the abortionist will determine the fetal age. And of course, that's just bizarre. It's just bizarre when you have the murderer of the child asking his opinion on whether or not we should give a painkiller to the baby. It's just as evil could be. And they're not seeing it. One reason is because pro-life leaders and Christians have compromised so often on right and wrong. It used to give them this little twinge of guilt, but now they don't even feel that anymore because that still small voice has gotten so quiet, they don't hear it. They have no idea when they're even getting onto territory, ground that is compromising.
Right. I agree with that. And that's been the problem, is people don't think clearly through the issues. And the leadership of Colorado Right to Life is saying, look, this is our responsibility. We need to be clear and thorough. And if we ask you to recommend something, we're going to tell you why we're asking you to support it. If we're asking you to oppose something, like this latest bill, then we're going to tell you why. Mm. And that's something that we have the obligation to do. And that's what the pro-life movement around the country has the obligation to do. And they simply haven't done it.
All right. So then you guys put out a press release. And the Rocky Mountain News, I think on this issue, I'm glad they publicized the point that you were debating Stephen Ertelt on Bob and Your Live. That was great.
Right.
But when they run a quote from a national person, Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, mentioning Colorado Right to Life, and then you guys respond with a short press release, it's almost like they have an obligation to print that. And they just blew it off.
Well, and normally what they do when they get a press release like this, they contact us for a comment. That's what they did on this other issue, from a few days ago. So that's what we would have expected. But anyhow, we responded anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys responded. And at least it's out there on the record. It's in your newsletter, and that's pretty good. Brian, we're about out of time. I think this last minute to let people know to support, if at all you can, please financially support Colorado Right to Life.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brian. I will end by giving out the phone number for Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. If you give over 20, I hope you will. If you give over 20, ask them to make you a member. Make sure you get the newsletter. You might want to ask for the last newsletter that's already gone out. Ask them for a copy of that. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen, and our website is kgov.com.